Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And as it happens, sometimes when I'm out on the internet, sort of bebopping around, looking at different things, I come upon a site that, you know, has really amazing things. And so I start coming back and back and back. And that's what happened when I hit Imagine Gnats. And Rachel Gander's website. She's got these great tutorials, and there's just always something adorable and fun and crafty going on. And I want you to meet Rachel and learn, you know, what's going on over there. She has some fantastic tutorials. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Pat.
It is so fun to come and see what you're doing. You know, is your brain always sort of on overdrive, you know, coming up with fun things?
Yeah, I think that would be a totally fair way to put it. there's kind of always at least a few things going on in there. And it's funny, my husband and I joke our older daughter is totally the same way. Mm. And I didn't realize I was that much that way until I'm starting to see her do it. Uh-huh. And I look at her and think, oh, that's how that looks from the outside. Yeah. So, yeah, always a few things going on for sure.
So you have this little mirror that's living with you now so that you can.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing, really.
Yeah. So what got you started with doing the tutorials? Because that's a lot about what goes on at your site, Imagine Gnats.
Yeah, I started the blog about 5 years ago, and I started it because I had sewn growing up. My mom quilted. I learned how to sew by paper piecing quilt blocks, which is kind of
my goodness.
In retrospect, like a weird first thing to learn, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember a friend was having a baby, and I was looking on Etsy for gifts to buy, and I saw some stuffed dinosaurs and just thought, well, I could make that. Mm-hmm. Sure, I could make that. And I had a sewing machine in the closet. And so I made it, and then people started saying things like, oh, you should make things and sell them, and so I started making things and selling them, and then I thought, well, I'll start this blog, because I didn't really know what that meant, and so it just all kind of happened, and then suddenly I realized, oh, there's like this whole really cool community of people that do this, you know, I'm not alone out here, this is really fun. And then I just started sewing more and more and, you know, kind of sharing how to do some of the stuff I was doing.
You know, I thought we could tell people just a few of the things, and then you have some great sewing tips that we're going to talk about often, I mean, as well. But the one thing that you have going on right now, which is very timely, I think, and it's not a sewing tip, but I just think it's so clever, and what is the kiddie pool cover? Because you know, it's like, duh, why didn't I think of that? So tell me what that is.
Well, okay, so the funny thing about this is, so we bought, I've always kind of fought against that, buying those silly plastic kid pools in the summer, because either they sit unused because you don't feel like filling them up, and when you fill them up it's all cold, or they sit with water in them and it's super gross. Like, it's just, I mean, on the list of things in your life that are a pain, it's not very high, but still, it's a pain. So we were just trying to find some things to do with my girls this summer. They're 6 and 9. And actually, my husband sent me a link. He was at work, and he sent me a link of a tutorial that was a fabric cover with elastic around the edge, like kind of like those ones you see for, like, bold in your fridge.
Okay.
And he said, do you think we could do something like this for a pool? And I was like, oh, it hadn't even occurred to me to make a cover for it, honestly, ever, right? So I said, well, I could probably do that with a shower curtain liner. So I took the 6-year-old to Target, and we bought a shower curtain liner for $2.29. Mm-hmm. And then I got it home, and I put it on top of the pool, and I thought, we don't really have to do even very much to this. So I was shocked by how easy it was. And, yeah, it seriously is going to save my sanity this summer, because we can just leave the pool with water in it, but it won't like attract mosquitoes or get all gross or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess it'll probably stay a little bit warmer, you know, maybe.
Yeah, it totally stays warm. So yeah, they can even go in on days where it's not, you know, 105 degrees and the water isn't completely freezing out of the hose. So yeah. Super good.
Yeah, I think this is something everybody needs to know. So, you know, that's why I had to bring it up first. It's like, really, you know,
you can
it's
make
life
a cover
saving.
For your kiddie pool in like 15 minutes. It's fabulous.
Yeah. It's fabulous, fabulous. So tell me, let's talk about clothing because you do quilt, you make fabulous quilts, but you also are a garment maker and so many people are sort of either going back to that or approaching it for the first time because they didn't learn to sew clothing to begin with. One of the things that you're doing a lot of is sewing with knits, which I've never done. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the biggest thing about it is it's not scary at all, I promise. Mm-hmm. It's just about having the right tools, mm-hmm. and the right tools aren't, like, complicated or expensive. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm a huge fan of, like, the right tools for the right job. And so my sewing machine, I have a brother and a singer, and they both came with an overlock foot. And the fabulous thing about this overlock foot is that it allows you to sew knits kind of, it sort of reproduces like a serger in that it does a stitch that goes forward, but then it also stitches over the edge to hold it. So it kind of does a few things. So it's a slow stitch, but it gets the job done. So if you have, I also think that a ballpoint or a jersey needle is super important. They're actually not as sharp as quilting needles, so they push the fibers to the side instead of going through them. Because on a knit fabric, if you break the fiber, it'll start to unravel as opposed to a woven.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense when you look at it, right? Because you can see that
it
looks different than cotton.
Yeah. So if you have those two things, and honestly, the overlock foot is not, you know, really, you could just kind of go crazy mad scientist with it without any special tools. But I think the biggest thing is to start off with a knit that's not, like, super slinky or thin. You know, like, use something with a little weight. Like, I look for stuff that's a jersey knit. Specifically for, like, my kids' T-shirts or whatever, because it's a little bit heavier. It'll last. I mean, like, Kaufman sells some really good knits, just their basic ones. They're great for beginners because they're not – they're just nice fabric. You know, they're not complicated to use.
You know, I think that's a good point, Rachel, because knits, if you've not worked with them, you have no idea what's a good one, what's not a good one. So knowing that, like, a company we're familiar with in the quilt world, Robert Kaufman, has them, then that makes, you know, and they're decent to work with. So that would be a good starting point.
Yeah, they're great to work with. And also, I know that some of the organic companies are doing knits now, and then also Art Gallery is doing those knits now. And I have had the chance actually to touch and use, I think, most of them. Like, I got some of those Charlie Harper knits from Birch. Mm-hmm. They're so cute.
Yeah.
And all of those are really nice. I mean, a lot of those big companies that sell fabric that we're all familiar with, like you said, for quilts and all of that, are really selling some knits that are really nice. It does seem like people are getting more into garments and you kind of need some knits in your wardrobe. You know, it can't all be made out of quilting cotton.
Right, because quilting cotton, when you wear it, as many people who've made things with it know, I mean, it just doesn't drape. It doesn't have the form-fitting that something else will, that, you know, like a knit will,
right,
or other fibers.
Exactly.
Now, You also are designing clothing patterns. And you have them in print form. That's a new thing for you, right?
I am. It's very new for me. In fact, they arrived via a semi last week.
Oh my!
And there's a tower of boxes now living in my garage where my car used to be. the car's in the driveway. I didn't, like, sell it by the package or anything, but it's not a bad plan. So it's kind of crazy. I I did a pre-sale of some patterns, so I spent most of Friday and the weekend shipping off a bunch of patterns that people have very kindly pre-ordered. So it's exciting. Today I'm starting to see some pictures from people like on Instagram and stuff with, you know, my patterns in their possession, which is crazy and exciting.
Yes, that is
so that's
exciting.
That's really neat.
So what did you put out? Did you put out tops, skirts? What do you have available?
Right now I have four girls patterns. One's a cardigan and a jacket. There's two tops and then a skirt. And then I have three women's patterns, a top, a skirt, and then one that actually includes links for a top, tunic, and a dress.
Oh, nice. That's really nice. Now, tell us, we're just about going to wrap up here. So tell us your website name, Rachel, and what they can find like on your tutorial page.
Sure. My website's called Imagine Gnats, like the bugs. Mm-hmm. And on my tutorial page, there are definitely sewing tutorials for clothing and things to make with kids and also some sewing techniques. So just finishing stuff or, you know, ways to things you can incorporate into other projects.
And then you also have a couple of free patterns so mm-hmm. that people can try out your style before, the, you know, and do you have any that are clothing?
I do. I have a skirt. It's called the Pharisee skirt, and it's actually mm-hmm. linked just right on the sidebar. And I'm excited. I'll actually be doing some videos with Joanne later this summer that will air, I think, next September. Going over actually that specific tutorial and some additional techniques and help for people who might be a little more visual learners. So that'll be fun.
Oh, this is exciting. Plus, they have to check out Blast, which is a great, great quilt that you have on your free pattern page. It's awesome.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
I appreciated it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun to talk, and now I have to make something with knits, you know. This is going to be my challenge.
Yes, and let me know if you have any problems. Really, you, anyone listening, anyone. I'm, you know, my email is an open door. How about that?
Awesome. Thank you. We'll be
right back.
Bye.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am really, really happy to have Jill Finley on from Jalili Studio because Jill is the featured designer for the August issue, August 2014 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine. That's so exciting. They go out and they take a designer and just go to their home and feature them sort of in depth. And so Jill's going to talk to us about that whole thing. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Pat. So nice to talk to you again.
I know. We talked at the trade show, too, so it was not that long ago.
Yeah, we just saw each other at market, didn't we?
Yes. So, you know, were you surprised when you got a call asking if you would be interested in them coming out to the magazine coming out to your home?
Oh, I was so excited. I was just thrilled. I was so excited. I couldn't wait for them to get there. And then, of course, you have to clean your house so that it looks decent for the magazine. So that's always a plus, too, you know, little perks.
Yeah, a little deep cleaning happened when they came to my house.
When I showed him the pages, you know, they send you a proof.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at the pictures of the studio, and he's like, wow, it was clean.
It has to be clean. It has to be clean. Now, if you go to Jill's blog for Wednesday, June 11th, 2014, she actually has a few behind-the-scenes pictures that are not in the issue that she took. So tell me what was it like? Did they, I just thought we'd give people a little behind-the-scenes. Did you know what they would want to photograph
did they tell
you anything?
Yeah, I didn't know if she was going to photograph my home or my studio, which is, you know, my studio is in my home, but I didn't know. So basically, I got everything ready and had, you know, I just kind of imagined what I'd like to see and put together shots, with my quilts displayed and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it basically is how it normally looks, but I put out probably a few more quilts than I normally would. Mm-hmm. And then when they came, they got here early in the morning, Jennifer and... her photographer, Tatiana, was here, and then she had an assistant. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of us to be in my tiny little, with all of the equipment, you know, all the lights and the ladders and, reflectors and things. And it's just amazing. They do such a good job. They're so professional. And Jennifer would look immediately, as soon as the photographs were taken, she would look at them on the computer mm-hmm. and say, oh, move this one thing a little bit, or... you know, arrange this a little differently. I mean, she knew exactly right then mm-hmm. what to do. And so they were very professional and was great. We had 2 days scheduled, but mm-hmm. We actually got done the first day. By noon, we had finished one segment, and I had some lunch prepared. I made some homemade soup, and we sat at the table, had a nice visit. And then we cleaned up lunch a little bit and mm-hmm. went back to work. Got mostly done. By the afternoon, and we went out to dinner. So
nice.
We had a good time.
It is so much fun. And then, do you feel like your house in the magazine looks like your house after all of that?
You know, it does, but they sure do a good job of making your home look really nice, for sure. But it looks like my house to me, except that my house is a little bit messier right now. But other than that.
I know when they came to my home, we were photographing for mine to be in a December issue. So they wanted they wanted my Christmas quilts, but we were in June or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were trying to make it look Christmassy or wintery inside my house in June. So that always sort of cracked me up when I looked back.
Yeah, I know. They kind of tried to blur out some of the windows because it was kind of snowing.
Oh.
And this was a June issue coming out in June. Well, actually, it was October, but it was a snowy day. And you can kind of see out one of the windows that there's snow falling. But the grass was still green, so it kind of looked like it might be summer. But it was it was kind of a cold, blustery day.
Yes, yes. It snows in where you live in June, right?
It could, yes.
It could. So what quilt did you put in? You designed a quilt for the issue. Tell me about that one.
Okay, that one's called Fresh View, and it's not with the segment on, the little feature on me. It's later in the magazine, but it's in the same issue. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fun little lap throw. It's got mostly piecing and then a little bit of applique, just some stems and leaves. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to add a little bit of rickrack trim to embellish it a bit. And I've been sewing kits online, and people call to order them. Ordering instructions are in the magazine.
It's really, really adorable. I love the rickrack accent. How do you, what's your tip for putting rickrack down?
Well, rickrack, as you're sewing, likes to slip and slide away from you. So I glue it down. Mm-hmm. And like I do all my applique, I use my apple glue, which is a product mm-hmm. I've developed, to hold my pieces in place before I stitch. And that works really well on the rickrack. The thing that people maybe don't know is that you have to use a little bit more glue than you normally would when you're gluing cottons together, because the riprap is made, generally speaking, is made out of polyester. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't adhere as quickly. And so you have to use a little bit more glue, a little bit bigger drop, and then you have to hold it or put something on it, some weight on it, until it dries. Otherwise, it will just pop off.
That's a really good tip.
Whenever I do riprap, I do glue it in place first and then start stitching. I just stitch right down the middle with a straight stitch.
Perfect. 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 So let's switch gears just a tiny bit. Let's talk about your fabric lines. You have a new one out that's called Park Drive. I'm not sure. Is that actually in stores yet?
It's not out yet.
Okay.
It will be in stores in August.
Oh, in August. So very, very soon.
I've made some samples up of it. And I have three new quilt projects that use Park Drive, but I just use my sample yardage. So we don't have any yardage yet.
Yeah.
But they can watch, customers can watch for it in your local quilt shops or ask for it. It's really a fun collection. And it's got daisies, and it's got a fun little toile print with it, and some big kind of cabana stripes.
I love that part.
Just some little tonals.
Tell me, what was your inspiration? Because you have a really nice story to go with this.
Well, the street I grew up on was called Park Drive. And as I started drawing this up, I actually was drawing scenes from kind of from my backyard for the toile. Mm-hmm. And so that little pergola, little trellis thing is in my backyard. And I just planted my backyard last spring. I mean, it was actually last summer, late summer. Mm-hmm. And as I was drawing it, it was brand new. So it was really exciting to me to finally have a yard instead of just dirt in the back, you know. And I love to garden, and I couldn't wait for that to be there. And I learned that from my mom and dad. They had a beautiful, beautiful yard. And I just loved our home in Park Drive where I grew up. And it just meant a lot to me to have my parents working in the yard every weekend together and making a beautiful place for our family.
So that is really nice. And I love the colors. You've got a blue and a red and a black with that sort of citrusy green.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Very, very nice. I'm going to have some of this,
Jill. Thank you. I'm glad you like it. And, you know, it has a companion collection that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
My jams and jellies are a basics collection. And I've got them in the same colorway. And there's five patterns. Yeah, five different patterns.
Yeah.
And three or four colors in each pattern.
So they can mix and match.
Coordinate. Yeah, they coordinate.
Yeah, perfect. And this all works with, you have a thread collection with Aurifil, so this works with that, too.
Aurifil, uh-huh. Everyday Colors is the name of my collection. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming out with a new collection for fall. So not sure what that will be called, but we'll introduce that at fall market.
You're working on that one.
Yeah.
That one. So what do you have out online for your applique? Because you do a lot of applique and you have a lot of great tips. Do you have like some videos out there?
I do. There are videos on my website that teach my applique method. And there's a video on how to use my appliglue. There's one on my polka dots, which is another product I've developed. It's a little sticky thimble that you use when you're doing hand sewing. So you can stick it on the end of your finger to push your needle where you get that hole in your finger.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you're sewing on bindings or doing any hand applique, I love to stitch by hand. And so I developed this little sticky thimble called a polka dot. So there's a video about that. And then I have, what else do I have? I think I have a video on there about how to make bias tape and to shape it using your iron to use as vines and stems and even lettering on your quilt.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Because you've, when you were on the show before, you told us about how you use the little skinny bias to make stems. So
the bias tape maker. Uh-huh.
Yes, quite clever, quite clever. So what is your favorite thing that you're working on right now?
Oh, right now I'm working on a new fabric collection. I'm always working on fabric designs. You know how that is, Pat.
Yeah, it's never ending.
It is frantic, but it takes a long time to go from that design stage to actually having fabric in your hand. So I'm working on that. And then I've been totally swamped with this magazine. Since the magazine has come out, my website's gone crazy, and I have been filling orders day and night, basically. My daughter works for me, and she's been here full-time every day just filling orders for me, and we're a bit busy cutting kits, and so that's a really good thing.
And I want to tell everybody again, it's the August 2014 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine, which is where we have designers featured, and Jill Finley is the featured designer for the month. Yay, Jill.
Yay, I'm so lucky. I was so blessed. It was so great to have them here. And they've been absolutely fabulous to work with.
So tell everybody your website and how they can find you.
Okay. Yeah, you can visit me at jillilystudio.com. And that's two L's the first time, one L the second time. and then... I also have a Facebook page called Jill Lilly Studio, and they can email me with any questions they have or concerns, or give me a call. My phone number is on the website and on the back of all my patterns. So if you have any questions, just feel free to give me a call.
Well, Jill, this has been great. Thanks for coming on and giving us some behind the scenes and some really great tips on working with rickrack. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Pat. It was nice to chat with you.
We'll be right back after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And I was able to sort of chat with Carolyn Friedlander again when I was at the trade show. She had an award-winning booth. It was so incredibly wonderful and unique, and she got this a booth award, so that's always really fantastic. And when we were chatting, I found out she had a new book. It's her first book. It's called Savor Each Stitch, and I thought that just, I mean, it just sounded so wonderful what she was telling me about the book and her thoughts behind it. I said, okay, come on the show and tell us about it, because I think people will really be interested. So Carolyn is here. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's first talk about your book, because really, you know, I love catching up and finding out what people are doing, because you have had so much going on. It's a busy thing to write your first book. Did you find it time consuming?
It was time consuming, but in kind of a fun way. I always love thinking through the projects, and what I really enjoy about the book process is that it's a much larger project. So I really got to think about my projects, you know, individually, but then also as a whole, and then how that fit into the scope of the book. So it was a really fun project for me.
You know, what I really like about the book is that you have sort of been a huge proponent of sewing and enjoying it and taking your time, and even use the, you know, like the slow sewing, which you've done for a long time. You have clubs of that. And so I like that it's called Savor Each Stitch. It's like enjoy the process. And being an architect, that you're an architect by training and worked as an architect for a while. I can see that in your book and how you structure it. Did you feel that when you were putting the ideas together?
Yeah, I think that the book, it's definitely a lot about, I mean, it's what I love about quilting, what I love about making in general. And I definitely come to quilting from a design point of view. And so it's got a really heavy design focus in the book, but a lot of it is what I loved about architecture, the design skills that I picked up in school and that process. So the book is a big part of how I apply that to my quilt making, and not just quilt making, but I like to think that hopefully readers will gain how they can apply that to other things in their lives as well.
And I, you know, your writing is really nice. It's very, it's succinct, maybe that's the best way to say it, so that you know, you can tell us what you're going to tell us, and then you help walk through the process, and you break it down into nice chunks. Did that take you a while to figure out? Because your own personal design aesthetic and how you approach things, you had to figure that out to write it.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit different getting used to writing for a book format. For me, I'm so visual that I'm thinking about what something's going to look like or how the images are going to communicate something. So it did take me a little while to adjust to writing for a book so that a reader can understand the things that I think are important, you know, verbally, but then also how that fits into the images and kind of that whole back and forth.
Why don't we just talk about one part of it here, because I think that'll give people an essence of sort of how it works, because it's sort of starting at the beginning, and you talk about using the line and how the line inspires you, and how tell me what you wrote about where we see line in what we're doing.
Sure. So the book itself is broken down into what I see as design tools for, you know, what I'm using them for, how I'm making quilts, but you can use them for anything that you're wanting to do creatively. And so the first tool that I talk about in the book is line, and just the idea of how anything that you make, anything out there, starts out with an idea. And what's great about a line is that you can use a line. That's the first thing you can use to represent that idea. And so I show you in the book how I start out sketching out my ideas quickly and how those kind of move into actual projects.
And you also talk about how the line is not only what you draw on the paper, but then it's the piecing and then it's the quilting.
Right, exactly. So that's something that I just love about quilt making, is all of the different layers. So another way I want to look at the tools is and how each of the layers are impacted by those different design elements. So the line can be, you know, your idea, like I was just talking about, how you sketch out and design a pattern. But you also see lines in fabric, the designs on the fabric and how it's printed. Or, you know, when you're quilting it, the quilting itself, that's line work. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it was really fun for me to explore the different ways that you can see and use these tools in quilting.
Now, in the book, did you make all the quilts in multiple fabrics or just some of them?
I did, yeah. So for all of them, a big component of the book, like I was just saying, thinking about the different layers in quilt making, but how I think it's exciting that at each layer, each step of the way, we can make different design decisions, and that can lead us to totally different results. So with each of the projects, I deliberately wanted to push each of the designs in totally different directions. There are multiple versions for all of the projects, and I talk about what I was thinking about with each one I chose, whether it was how I wanted to change my fabric choices or how quilting it really impacted a different element of the design, all of those kinds of things.
And now you're doing your own quilting. You're putting that third layer, putting all the layers together yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. Because the way you work, it wouldn't necessarily work for you to probably partner with somebody to do that, because they couldn't have the same visual that you have.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see, to work with someone to see what they would do. You know, I mean, I love kind of the collaborative aspect, but for me, yeah, usually when I'm making a quilt, when I'm piecing it, when I'm designing it, I'm thinking about how I want to quilt it, because to me, that plays into so much the finished result of what I'm wanting to emphasize. I can really use quilting to further develop that.
Yeah, that's actually part of your whole design, whereas some people, it's more really the fabric or the pattern is part of the design. But what I see in your work, Carolyn, is that it's all the layers all the way through become that the whole vision.
Exactly. There's even a whole cloth project in the book, and that's in the volume chapter. That was so much fun to make, and I quilted it in three totally different ways, trying to prove the point that the quilting really makes such a big impact.
Oh, it's amazing. I used to take a sample with me when I taught that showed one barely quilted, like medium quilting, and like heavy quilting, the same piece, and just that level of quilting. Do you quilt heavy or light?
I usually quilt pretty heavily. for that, I did go there for in the book for the whole cloth project. I did one that was all big stitch, so big handwork. And then the next two, they're still pretty dense, but different amounts of that. But yeah, in general, I do kind of quilt pretty heavily.
Yeah, I like that myself. I mean, I like to have a lot of quilting. So besides your book, you, of course, have fabric. And I want to talk about that booth for a minute first. So let's talk about your booth. How did you come up with the plan for the booth layout?
Sure. So the booth, I'm glad that it came together. You kind of, I don't know how you feel about this, but you never really know when you're planning. and I knew that I had two new patterns that I was, quilt patterns that I was releasing at this last market, and then I was also releasing the book. So kind of generally, I knew I wanted to divide up the space so that one wall was devoted to the new patterns, and then the other wall was kind of devoted to the book. And so the main challenge with that was that that was a lot of stuff to represent in a small amount of space. So my biggest challenge was coming up with a way to show everything, but in a way that people could understand it and not be too overwhelmed.
So you did a lot of small photos.
That's kind of how I did it, or that's at least how I organized it. And then, you know, I...
Now tell me what the photos represented, because you had a lot of small photos and sort of like a whole big segment of your booth.
I did. I had a huge photo wall, and those were all photos that were from our photo shoots for the book, which was one of, I mean, it was a really fun part of the book for me. We were able to hire a local photographer to do all of the photography for the book, and we shot everything just super, super locally. It was just me and Alexis Wareham of Green Print Photography. She did all the photography. And she's actually got a background in landscape architecture. So we just
connected.
We hit it off so well. It was so much fun working with her.
Oh, well, that I think that's what really was the most unique. You know, when you went in the booth, it's like, wow, I hadn't, you know, haven't seen that done before. And it was clever girl.
Thanks. Yeah, we had a ton of awesome photos. Not all of them made it in the book, of course. Yeah. But, you know, we just had so many great photos, and that was a good way to show them off.
So what is your most recent fabric line that people can find in their stores right now?
My current fabric line is Botanics, out with Robert Kaufman, and it's all still available.
Good. And you also have another project going on that I want you to tell people about, Summer Road Trip Club, because that sounds so fun.
Yeah, so I'm part of a Summer Road Trip Pattern Club. It was started by Beth White, another pattern designer, and there are five different designers in the group, and every 3 weeks we're releasing a new pattern related to this road trip theme. So Betsy's pattern came out first 3 weeks ago, and it was this really cool duffel bag. And then today they just launched, released a new pattern, which is by Patty Young, and it's a really neat kimono robe for summer poolside.
Ah.
So, yeah, and my pattern will be coming out very last, and it's something I'm really excited about. So I hope everyone likes it.
I think that that's fun. It's sort of like a mystery road trip. Because you don't know what each person is designing, right?
That's right. And they're all different patterns. So, you know, like that's did a bag, there's the kimono, one's going to be something different. So it's an interesting mix of projects.
Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about real briefly before we wrap up, actually two more things we can fit them in, is that one is your little shirt, your little paper piece shirt that is like showing up everywhere on Instagram, everywhere I look at these adorable little shirts, and they're all your pattern. What is that about?
So my little shirts pattern, well, first of all, it's been showing up because a friend of mine, Lee Monroe of May Chapel, that's her blog, she's been hosting a shirt swap using my pattern. So the pattern is a paper piecing pattern that's in my line.
Yeah.
And just these cute little shirts. And the design idea was that I love making clothes. And so I just thought that to paper piece a little shirt was a fun way to kind of mock up different shirt ideas and make use of the fun fabrics that are out there, that it's just a fun little project. And so anyway, Lee has been hosting this swap, and people all over the world have been making it. It's been so much fun seeing their different shirts that they're making.
And how big is that block, actually?
It ends up at 5.5 inches.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they're adorable on top of everything else. They're little.
They are. And they you can use a charm pack for them. So I found that I go through my stash and I'll just cut 5-inch squares. I'll see something.
Yeah.
I'll know, oh, that'll be a really cute shirt. And so I have this little stack of shirts just waiting to be made.
And the other thing that I wanted to just touch base on, because I think it's so cool, is that you're a new homeowner. You just bought your first home, and I just can't even imagine how exciting that must be as a designer, as an architect, to now have your own home to play with.
Yeah, exciting and scary at the same time, but it's been really fun. Yeah, I've been very excited about it.
So what is your main project? I mean, do you have your studio in there yet?
Oh, gosh, yes. I've got my studio. I'm living here. I've got everything in here pretty much. And there are lots of projects because I actually ended up buying a 91-year-old house. Mm-hmm. Got a ton of character, which is what I was looking for. It's got great light and great space, but an endless amount of opportunities for me, projects for me to be working on. So
yes, you'll have to
really
balance where you can do your quilting versus your home.
That's right. Yeah, my handyman makes a joke. I've got a handyman that's been helping me out with some of the bigger stuff, and he makes a joke that I will quilt my way out of anything.
Yeah.
We have a problem. I'm like, let's just throw some fabric on it. Let's make some curtains. Let's wallpaper that in fabric. Let's do whatever. So it's been fun.
Well, Carolyn, this has been so great. Thanks for joining me, and congratulations on a beautiful book.
Thanks so much, Pat. I really appreciate it.
We are going to be right back, so hold on.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I asked Roseanne Kermes to come back on the show and talk a little bit about what's new, and there's a lot of new things out there, a lot of fun stuff. Hi, Roseanne.
Hi, Pat.
We were at market recently. You were there shopping as not only a shop owner, but as a designer, so that maybe we could start off with what we saw that was cool that we want to share. You want to go first?
Sure, because I love this product. This is a new product from Clover called the Curved Awl Tool. And it sort of looks like their seam ripper, the white handle with a metal shaft. But it's a little bit different than a stiletto.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about it is it was the handle was an oval, so it fit into your hand a little bit easier, and you're able to go in next to your presser foot from the side rather than in the front to try and move your fabric on, like when you're doing curved piecing or applique or things like that. And also because of the fact that it was oval, if it rolled, it won't roll off your table, which is always a good thing there. But
That part is brilliant. Everybody should do that to every product. Make it so it will not roll off the table.
Ergonomic and sits where you need it to sit. The other thing that they were showing, in addition to using it for piecing, was if you know how when you go and you rip a seam, you'll cut every couple threads or something.
No, I've never ripped a seam.
Oh, yes, I know. Other people do that.
Other people rip seams, okay.
But when you flip it over and you want to pull the line of threads out, it would just go in between the stitches and lift up the whole line of thread, so it was easy to unstitch a seam really fast. So I thought that product was great. We got ours in the store last week, so they're shipping, so people should look for them at their local quilt shops.
Yay, neat stuff.
Let's see. If you want me to keep on going with my favorites.
Yeah, go ahead with your others.
So, the next one that I liked was called is from a company called Guidelines for Quilting, and they had a product called the Quilt Ruler Connector. Mm-hmm. So if you, like say you were cutting borders and you needed two rulers to hook together, you know, because you needed the length, or you needed wanted to cut a square up like a corner, the connector lets you put two rulers together either end to end or at a corner and held them together. And I was really surprised at how well it held them and how it made your, it was seamless between one ruler to the next. You didn't have like a little, you know, have to like, you know, fix it that way. But I liked that product, and I liked that it was affordable. It wasn't, I've seen some other tools like this. This one was under $12.
Oh.
So I liked that, and we have some of those ordered as well, but they haven't arrived yet. I don't think they come into the stores until July.
Oh, okay, so people can watch for those.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you found another one as like a spray on project thing.
Yeah, this product was called Terial Magic, and it's T-E-R-I-A-L Magic. Mm-hmm. And they were using it for a lot of different things. The first thing that brought me into their booth is they had these beautiful three-dimension flowers that they had made out of batiks, and the edges weren't frayed. What they did is they sprayed the fabric with this product and ironed it and then cut their shapes, and the fabric didn't fray. But some of the other uses that I thought were interesting were for machine applique or embroidery. You know, usually if you do those things, you have a stabilizer on the back. Mm-hmm. And she said you can treat your fabric with their spray-on product and let it dry, you know, press it, let it dry, and then you could eliminate that whole step of having to have a stabilizer, which I thought was kind of a nice thing. It's water soluble. Mm-hmm. They were using it when they were piecing curved pieces. They treated their fabric before they sewed, and it kept, you know, helped keep the pieces nice and crisp, so they went together easily. But she used it for, boy, she had a lot of things used it for. And I was impressed with that product, and that's out now. They were actually in Houston. I didn't see it there. Mm. Oh, I forgot one other thing. For people who like to print onto fabric, you can treat the you cut your fabric to whatever your printer size is, and you treat this let it dry, and you can slide it through your inkjet to print, like if you wanted to label.
Oh, okay.
Or, yeah, so I thought it had
multi-use. That's always good.
Yeah.
Did a lot of things.
Those were my three great finds.
Your three great finds. Well, there's a product. It's a couple of products all by one company that have come out. They keep bringing out new ones. And so I thought I'd just talk about sort of their suite, because their newest one is from Soak. And you might have heard of Soak Wash, which is a really delicate wash that you don't have to rinse out. So like a big, heavy quilt, you can wash it, and then you don't have to remove this product. It's made to clean it that way. People use it for knits, for lingerie, and that one's been out a while. It's been around. It's a Canadian company. And you go to soakwash.com. But what they had that was new is something called Flatter. You know, like think flat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and this one is a starch-free smoothing spray, so that you get those, you know, at the crease of the fabric or some really bad wrinkles, you know, you spray this and then press it and it'll remove those wrinkles. Comes in a lot of four different scents, one being scentless, no scent at all, which is great for people who don't want to add any perfumey smells. But then they have some other beautiful smells that I really like, because I like things to smell nice. And then the other product that they have that people have been seeing, and it's been out a short while, is their fun nail polishes, and they do collections. Yes. So they sent me some of these to try out and test, and I put on the mushroom color nail polish, which is like a taupe. So it's a really, and they're nice little bottles, and they're just, those are really fun.
I heard that they wear really well too.
They're so good. Yeah. And I like nail polish, so
same here.
Yeah.
Well,
and I always do my own.
Although
you go out to have yours done, so
yeah,
sometimes.
But still, you can take it with. But yes. they were doing that in their booth, and it was fun seeing the nails that they were doing for everybody. It was kind of cute.
Oh, they're doing some really cute decorated ones. I'm not that talented. I just get the coats on, you know, flat.
Yeah,
so
same here.
Now, I wanted, you and I were chatting before the show, that another thing that's going on out in the quilt universe that people are starting to really see, because it's spreading across the whole country like wildfire, is the Row by Row experience. And you're involved with it this coming year. So why don't you sort of tell us what this whole big event is? It's exciting.
I was really excited when they notified us that they were opening a group in Minnesota. The Row by Row experience started in 2011 in New York. It was a group of shops that got together, and they wanted to just increase business during the summer when everybody's traveling and being tourists. And they decided that they would each do a row of their own choosing, and it had to be a certain size, and they had a theme for it. And they did that, and then some other states started to hear about it, and they wanted to take part. And then it has just sort of mushroomed. I believe now there are 38 states that are taking part in it, and about 1,250 shops across the country. I think here in Minnesota we have close to 50. And the way this works is it's all done through the store. You have to be in the store to pick up your free row pattern. It starts July 1st and goes through September 2nd. So you go into the stores that you visit, you pick up your row, and then the first person who comes back to a store with a minimum of 8 different rows from 8 different stores with a quilt, you can have more than 8, by the way, with a quilt totally completed, so that means pieced, quilted, bound, and with a label on it, they will get 25 fat quarters from the store that they bring it to. And then we take their picture and we put it on our Row by Row Facebook page for our state, so that everybody can see what their quilt looked like.
Oh,
and it's very
fun.
And then, and we've got other prizes that we're going to be giving out throughout the summer and stuff. But I just thought it was so fun. You know, we have so many people who travel through our area. And also just our customers, they like doing, you know, interesting things during the summer. They have a little more sewing time sometimes, you know, when they're up at the cabin or whatever. I thought it was just a fun event. We just did our row, and my row is 6 inches tall, And I did watermelon, piece watermelons and crows and flowers out of wool. Mm-hmm. On our Facebook page for our Row by Row from Minnesota, they're showing the other rolls that other stores are doing. Mm-hmm. And they are, one is as cute as the next. I've been looking at some of the other states, and I'll tell you, I would love to get in the car and go to some of these others to pick up those rolls. The thing about it, it has to be picked up in the store, so you can't email it or mail it.
You can't make copies. You know, it won't, you know, you have to go pick it up yourself. It's, and there's like a license plate thing going on too. What's that about?
The license plate is actually it just kills me. We each could pick whatever we wanted to say on a license plate that looks a lot like the state license plate for each of the states. So you, for your store, you could pick anything you wanted. We picked the word crazy quilter, but we changed the configuration of the letters. There's no vowels in it. And then underneath that, it says Rosebud's Cottage, and it says our state. And the little license plates are about 7.5 by about 3, I think, and they're printed on really nice fabric. So when you go into the store, you can purchase these, and you can make them into things. Some people are using them as labels for the back of their quilt. They want to, like, put the license plate and then what store they got it from. And
put the license plate on the back.
Some people are making them into quilts.
Lost Roseanne there for a second. May not get her back by the end here, but I want to tell you, you can go to rowbyrowexperience.com, and on this site is a list of all the states that have a row by row going on. It shows all kinds of pictures. It also has a list of the stores and the rules and how it works, so that you can go out there and experience all of this really, really fun stuff. Now, row by row, it says a start here at the top. It's got home, start here, FAQs, and then one for the shops who are running it. So when you start here and you click, it shows you the cool license plates that are just the state name. And then you click through to that. So, like, I know Virginia is also one of the ones that's just starting. So I could go and click the Virginia and see all the shops and what their license plate says. So I hope you check that out, and thank you, Roseanne, for joining me and talking about what's new. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. You can visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. You can go to my website, patsloan.com. I also have a player. There's a player at both sites so that you can listen to the past shows and download them. And this has been just great fun, and next week I have more guests, more new guests, all quilting all the time here at American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. See you soon.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.